Jesus is the light of the world. Amen. Please find your way to the gospel according to Matthew. We will pick up in chapter 2 this morning. Matthew, a Jewish tax collector turned disciple of Jesus Christ, has penned this letter primarily to the Jews. He is introducing the Jews and the world to the King of the Jews. He wants everyone to know that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. In chapter 1, he gave us the lineage, we saw that last week, of Jesus to prove that Jesus Christ was the only one who is qualified to be King of the Jews. His bloodline qualifies him. In other words, not just anybody can claim to be the Messiah. You see, if you were to claim to be the Messiah, the first thing that the Jews would do is check the lineage and make sure that you are in the royal bloodline. And then the next thing it would do to see if that person who's claiming to be the Messiah fulfills prophecy. Does this person who claims to be the Messiah actually fulfill what was written about the Messiah hundreds and thousands of years before? And listen, it's not just one or two prophecies that have to be filled in order to be the Messiah. There are over 300 specific prophecies about the Christ that have to be fulfilled. You see, there are things that God has told his people that are specific to the Savior who is to come. God has given us his word to vet the Messiah, right? And make sure we are worshiping the one and only true Christ. Now, we have the New Testament. We have all the evidence that we need to know that Jesus Christ is who he said he is. We have the miracles. We have the signs, the bringing back people from the dead. And most of all, we have his resurrection. We have over 500 eyewitnesses of the resurrected Christ. Bottom line, the Messiah lives. Our Redeemer lives. Christ is who he claimed to be, and he is alive. Jesus is the one that the scriptures foretold about, and he's now sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Amen? So let's read chapter 2, verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Okay, so the first thing that we have to see, that beyond popular belief, the Magi did not visit with Jesus the next day after he was born. The three kings and the little drummer boy did not come and worship the baby in the manger. Yes, I know. You see, some time has passed. Mary and Joseph were still in Bethlehem, yes, but Jesus is no longer a newborn baby. Joseph and Mary are now living in a house in Bethlehem, and Jesus is now called a child, not a newborn. The wise men came to see the child, and it took some time for them to travel to get to Jerusalem. These wise men did. So let's talk about these wise men for a minute. Let's look at what we do know about them and what we don't know about them. First of all, the text says that they came from the east, probably from Persia or somewhere in that area, but we're not exactly sure. We just know they came from where the sun rises. We do not know how many there were. Many assume there were three. Not true. They say that because they gave three gifts. So they figure there was three kings, three wise men. But we really don't know how many came to worship the king. We know that they did study the stars, as indicated by their title Magi, which means they were specialists in astronomy. And we also know that they were more than just astronomers. These guys were scholars in many areas of life. They loved knowledge. They studied many things. And they were well respected because of their knowledge that they have. Now, one thing we know without a doubt about these guys is that they had seen a star in the sky, and they, quote, somehow knew that it was a star that would be over the one who would be born King of the Jews. They knew that by going to the area where they had seen the star, they would be able to find this newborn king. How did they know that? Again, we're not sure. They may have had this information because they were familiar with the Old Testament prophecies concerning the Messiah's arrival. Perhaps they knew of Balaam's prediction that a star would come out of Jacob in Numbers 24:17. And they may have connected this with the prophecy of 70 weeks, which foretold the time of Christ's first coming in Daniel 9:24. All of this is possible because of their desire to obtain knowledge. Like I said, they studied many things, and I am sure that they knew about the nation of Israel, right? I'm sure they had heard that they are God's chosen people. I'm pretty sure they probably had some of the Old Testament scriptures because apparently they were looking for the Messiah. And so it's possible that this is how they knew to seek the king, because they had studied the word for themselves. Now, some say that this knowledge that they had was communicated to them supernaturally, that they got it directly from God, which is also possible because we will see that God told them in a dream not to go back and tell Herod where the child is. But we really don't know how they got the word. What we do know is that they saw a star in the sky. They followed that star all the way to Bethlehem, and they knew that that star would lead them to the one who was born King of the Jews. Come to think about it, I do agree that the Magi got their info supernaturally. It came from God. What method he used, we don't know, but it did come from God, so I do agree with those guys. Now, let's take a look at this star for a second. Again, man has come up with many explanations on what this star was, from the rare lining up of the planets to an exploding star and so on and so on. And these assumptions are just man's way of trying to guess what this star was. The word does not tell us what it was. What we do know is that the Magi saw the star and they went in that direction. Okay? There's no evidence that the star continued to shine to lead them all the way to Jerusalem. When they got there, they asked, they said, "Where is the child? You know, where is this child that we're seeking?" And they didn't, because they didn't know, right? But it was not until they were told of the prophesied birthplace of the Messiah that the star, and our text says, reappeared and then guided them not only to Bethlehem, but to the exact place, to the exact house where the child was. So it was not like a guiding light in the sense that they followed all the way to Jerusalem that stayed in the sky, you know, for the months that they were traveling. It wasn't like that. But they didn't need that. They knew before the star appeared that one day there would be a child born King of the Jews. And they were looking for that king. They were seeking him. They were waiting for that king. They desired to worship that king before that king was born. They were seeking. They wanted to know. And so they waited. And God gave them a light, and they followed it. They were faithful to the light that God had given them, and it led them right to the King of Kings. And I can't help but wonder, how many more people had seen that light but ignored it? How many in that day had seen the light and thought nothing of it because they were not looking for the King? They had their eyes on themselves. I wonder how many snuffed out the light that God miraculously put in the sky that day. Nothing new under the sun. There are people alive today who are snuffing out the light that God has given them. You see, God has given every man, woman and child, every man, two candlelights that lead man to God. All right? The first light we have is our conscience. Romans 2:14-15. For when, you can write that down in your verse, in your Bible there. For when Gentiles who did not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness. And their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them. In other words, these verses show that God has placed the knowledge of himself within the heart of each human being. And proof of that is that humanity knows the difference between good and evil. We know the difference between right and wrong. Every person understands right and wrong. For the one who says there's no right and wrong, just go punch him right in the face and ask him if that was right or wrong. They know the difference between good and evil. The knowledge of good and evil did not evolve, okay? The conscience did not evolve. You can't put your hand on someone's conscience. You can't put your conscience in a jar and study it. You can't touch it. So the fact that a conscience exists in each and every person should be enough light to set anyone on the path to God, okay? That light alone should be enough to lead you to God. But God gives us more light, so we will not have an excuse. The second light we have is creation. Romans 1:20, this should be a familiar verse. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived. That means we can easily see this. Ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So everything that has been made can be clearly perceived in it. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. So just by looking at nature, just by looking at creation, one knows in their heart that there has to be a creator. One knows there has to be a God who is holding all of this together. The complexity of creation screams of a creator. You can either acknowledge it or deny it. Either way, it doesn't change the truth. You know, I got some bees around my house that I try to take care of that I know absolutely nothing about what I'm doing, but they just amaze me, the complexity of these bees and what they do, right? So I'm studying on, you know, reading the bee books about this stuff, and they're telling me how the bees existed for a million years, and then they evolved. After that million years, they evolved into needing pollen to feed their babies. At the same time, what a great coincidence, at the same time that plants started pollinating, and they needed, you know, they started producing pollen. I'm like, that's amazing that it all happened at that same time, that they all evolved. And so then I'm sitting there thinking, I go, you know, the bee evolved. The lifespan of a bee is about 36 days. Man, he better get busy in that 36 days if he's changing into something else. You know, look, I read these books and they talk about how amazing these bees are, and they don't see God. I see a creator, but they don't see him. But creation is enough light to light your path to God. You can look at creation and go, I know there is a God. But listen to me. Even though we have a conscience that indicates the existence of God, even though we see that creation proclaims that God is the creator, neither one of those provide any personal knowledge of God or any personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. Creation and conscience will not give you John 3:16. Meaning, just by recognizing there is a God, just looking at creation and recognizing there's a creator does not provide salvation to anyone. There are a lot of people who worship many gods, but salvation only comes through Jesus Christ, the one true living God. There's a lot of people who worship creation, and they believe that creation is a god, but salvation only comes through Jesus Christ, the one true living God. There are many people who worship idols because in their heart they know there is a God, but there's no salvation in crystals or any man-made idols because salvation only comes through Jesus Christ, the one true living God. Amen? Acts 4:11 says, "This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." There is only one way that you can be saved, and that's to trust in the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing, not no one, can provide salvation for your soul other than Jesus. Nothing, not a no one, nothing, just Jesus, okay? So there's two lights that God has given to all of us that should set to given to all that should set them on the path to Jesus. All right? Every person has a choice, whether to follow the light that God has given them or snuff out the light that God has set before them. That's a choice that every man has to make. Do you seek after God, or do you seek after self, or do you seek after man? And listen, if you truly want to know the truth, if you do, God will not turn you away. But you have to desire to know the truth. I know this guy came to me one time. He said he wanted to find out about who this Jesus Christ really is, right? And I encouraged him. Yeah, I want you to find out who he really is. I told him to read Scripture. I would give him any information he needed, offered to help him in any way. And told him that if he truly wanted to know who Jesus Christ is, God would reveal himself to him. Well, guess what this guy did? His journey consisted of only finding people who agreed with his lost heart. You see, he just wanted to find people who denied that Jesus was the Son of God. He didn't want to know the truth. He really didn't want to know who Jesus is. He just wanted to get confirmation on his thoughts. We got to know that we want to know the truth. He didn't want the truth. He's hardening his own heart, you see. He's snuffing out the light that God has given him. And that's exactly what many people did in our text today. Let's read more about this. They snuffed out the light. Look at verse 3. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. So he assembles all the chief priests and the scribes of the people. He inquires of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, so it is written by the prophet. Watch this. Listen. Herod brings in the chief priests and the scribes. They're the ones who know Scripture. They're the ones who know what the prophet wrote. They're the ones who proclaimed where the Messiah was to be born. They knew all that. And on top of all of that knowledge, camped outside a town is a whole caravan of people from the east who say they have seen a star that would lead them to the one who was born King of the Jews. Shouldn't that ring a bell? Shouldn't something be going off there? Something should have been going on. They should have been putting all this together. Now, don't forget what has already happened before the Magi came to town, right? When Christ was born, we know that the shepherds, remember those guys, they told everyone about the angels and about the baby they worshiped. I'm sure that was the talk of town, wouldn't you think? Don't forget about Simeon, a righteous and devout man of God. God told him he would not die until he saw the Messiah with his own eyes. Joseph and Mary brings Jesus to the temple, and Simeon declares, "Lord, you are now letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Now, do you think Simeon kept that to himself, or did he tell everyone in the temple and everyone on the streets that he had seen the salvation that God had provided? And then there was the prophetess Anna. Yes, a female prophet. She was in the temple that very hour, and she began to give thanks to God and speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. "The Redeemer is here," she proclaimed. You know, that's shouting good news. I'm sure she shouted it from one end of town to the other. She's a woman prophet. That's funny. I don't care who you are. Listen, they of all people, they had Scripture. They had the testimony of many. They had a caravan of people from the east asking to see the King of the Jews. And all the scribes and chief priests can do is tell them where the king was to be born. Look, they should have gone with them to find this king. As a matter of fact, they should have already been in Bethlehem. Why not? But they weren't. They snuffed out the light that God had given them. They had the head knowledge of Scripture, but they didn't have it in their heart. In their head, they knew the prophecies and they knew the promises of God, but they were not seeking God. They were not looking for the King of the Jews. They were focused on themselves. And I feel like the light they had shone a lot brighter than the light the Magi got. And yet they didn't follow it. I feel the same way about America. God has given us a very bright light that should have led many to saving faith, but the people of America are snuffing out that light slowly but surely. And that's why we as believers have to let our light shine brighter and brighter and brighter every day. Amen? People, we have to make sure we're not snuffing out the light that God has set before us. We have to make sure we're not one of those people who have a lot of head knowledge about God, but no heart knowledge about Jesus. If we don't have a hunger for the Word and for Jesus, then we need to check our hearts. We need to do a self-examination. If we have no conviction of sin, we need to check our hearts. If we have no love for Jesus and His people, then we need to examine our hearts. Let's make sure we have the love of God in our heart. Look what the Magi did with the light that God gave them. They traveled a long distance. They left the security of their homeland. This was dangerous back then. But they did whatever it took to get there. They were following what light God had given them. They didn't know exactly where they were going. They didn't know. But they knew they were seeking God. Watch this. This is pretty awesome. The Magi were faithful with the light that God had given them, and then God gave them more. When they got to Jerusalem, God gave them more light, and it took them right to the Messiah. And that light took them right to the doorstep of the King of the Jews. And that light took them right to the Redeemer that the world had been waiting for. You see, like I said earlier, God is faithful. He will not turn away a heart that is seeking Him. If you're faithful with the small things, God will give you more. If you're faithful with the light that God has given you, He will give you more. Because God's in the saving business, people. He doesn't want anyone to perish. We know 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God loves us enough that He sent His Son to die for us while we were His enemies. Do you think He did that so we could perish? No. He did it so we could be saved. God's not playing hide and seek with anyone. He reveals Himself in a mighty way. Back to our text. The Magi come. They ask you where the King of the Jews is. They search the Scriptures, and the Scriptures say that the King would be born in Bethlehem. Verse 7. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, saying, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Herod, the good liar he was, is acting like he wanted to follow the light that God had set before him. He was acting like he wanted to know who this king is. And he did, but it was for all the wrong reasons. He did not want to worship. He wanted to destroy. He was concerned about himself, which confuses me. When we say that a man does not seek God because he is selfish or that he's concerned all about himself, you know, it just seems odd, because wouldn't the first thing you'd be concerned about is your eternal life if you were selfish? I'm just thinking. I mean, if you're selfish and all you cared about was yourself, the first thing you would do is make sure your eternal life was taken care of. But that's not what selfish people do, as we can see here. They're only concerned about the here and now. You see, they can't get through their heads that God has greater things for them than just what is here and now. They're trying to grab all they can here. Herod is not worried about the eternal kingdom, kingdom. He's only worried about his earthly kingdom. He is concerned that there is someone who is born that will take away his earthly riches.
Fool. What a fool.
And you know, that pretty much sums up our text today. Wise men and fools. That's what we see here. And it would do well for all of us to do a self-examination and see which one we are. There are fools who ignore the light that God has set before them. They see the light, but they don't follow it. There are fools who have the word of God in their head, but they do not have it in their heart. There are people who are not looking for God. They're just worried about themselves. There are the ones who hear the truth and instead of investigating further, seek to kill God. Those are the foolish ones. And then we have the wise men. They were looking for God. They were studying the scriptures. They saw the light that God set before them. They followed that light. They were looking for the King of the Jews that God had promised. They were looking for the Savior that God had promised. They were seeking God and they wanted to worship Him. The word says that the star appeared and took them to the King. But when it took them to the King, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And when they saw the King of Kings, they fell down and worshiped Him. Is that your heart? Do you have great joy in your heart because you know who Jesus really is? Are you a fool or a wise man? A wise man will follow the light that God has given him. God has given us a conscience. God has revealed Himself to us in creation. God has given us His Word. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a lot of light. And there's no need for anyone to walk in darkness anymore. Pastor Ryan.